Cause my video's been blurry lately, like on every video.
Yeah, it does look. Yeah, now that you mention it, does look a little blurry.
It's blurry right now, still.
A little bit. It's not lagging though. I remember it used to lag sometimes.
Man, I just need a new computer that's just for lives, because this computer and my other ones just got too much.
Just doing Black Friday's coming up. I wonder if there's anything good.
Hey, if you want to buy me something for Christmas, Justin, you know.
Present, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Anybody want to buy me a Christmas present? You know what to give me. A MacBook. A Mac. Anything Apple. Laptop. All right. But anyways, guys, thanks for tuning in. I'm Sean Christopher Jenkins. This is my twin, my guy, Justin Lee Howell. We like to match when we go live from now on. All right. So we got a treat for you guys today. If you've been tuning into my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads, you know that me and Justin, we be killing it every week. We try to do two videos a week. Last week, we did two videos, and this was the first one. It was on Just Look Outside and See God's Glory, and we did two parts of it, right? It was going with the playlist that I'm starting titled Book Breakdowns. I'll pull up that later. So Book Breakdowns, so that's when I take one of the books that we've been studying for seminary school. I'm currently getting my graduate degree at Colgate. Rochester Kozar Divinity School in Rochester, New York. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, so technically Mount Juliet, Tennessee. So I'm doing it online, obviously. So one of the books that we are reading is titled Ask the Beast, right? And it's by Elizabeth A. Johnson. So Ask the Beast, Darwin and the God of Love. So this book is just talking about how human beings basically need to stop disrespecting God's creation, stop disrespecting the animals and the other things that God's created, because human beings aren't the only creature, the end all be all of all the earth. We're a part of creation just like everything else in creation. So this book's amazing. I already know me and Justin gonna do way more videos on it. So today we're just talking about one of my favorite parts that's at the very beginning of this book, right? So I'm about to read the very beginning and the parts that really like sparked my interest and got my juices flowing with this book. So I know it's gonna do the same thing for you guys. And again, you're gonna like this video. This is part three of the other two videos we did last week. So we're gonna focus on talking about another species, another creature on the earth that we didn't get to talk about and didn't give it the time of day that we wanted. So we're doing a whole video on just them, right? So let's go ahead and get to it. So the author wrote, Elizabeth A. Johnson of the book, Ask the Beast. She wrote this at the very, very beginning. She said, the last paragraph of Darwin's On the Origin of Species opens with a beautiful image well known to him from many walks in the English countryside. It is interesting to contemplate an entangled bank clothed with many plants of many kinds, with birds singing on the bushes, with various insects flittering about, and with worms crawling through the damp earth, and to reflect that these elaborately constructed forms, so different from each other and dependent on each other in so complex a manner, have all been produced by laws acting around us. Note the ecological richness of his vision with the entangled banks. Plants and animals dependent on each other in so complex a manner, and equally reliant on the soil and water of the damp bank they inhabit. I invite you, to the interested reader, to keep before your mind's eye your own version of an entangled bank, whether it be an ocean beach, an urban park, a lakefront, or a riverbank, or a wetland, a farm, or woods, a block of city trees, a prairie or mountain range, the side of a highway or an open field, a nature reserve, a coral reef, a public garden, plantings on a campus or in a backyard garden, or even a window box on a sill. Any place where land or water with their plants or animals, domestic or wild, your spirit, even lifted your mind to the heart of God. Can, when we contemplate the whole globe as one great dewdrop dripped and dotted with the continents and islands, flying through space with other stars all singing and shining together as one, the whole universe appears as an infinite storm of beauty. All right, so I think I'm gonna stop there. Unless Justin, you think I should read this verse, but yeah, this verse relates with all that too. So Justin, you want to say anything, or you want me to just keep on reading this and just go to the part?
Oh, I'm trying to think what I want to say right now. Yeah, and like I will say a little bit. I won't say anything about ants yet because that's kind of the direction we might go. But I will speak to like the harmony of nature that Sean just read out, because that is definitely going to relate to what we talk about later. And I just really like the parts where it's saying it's singing and shining together, because like much like how our, like, we're supposed to be connected by one spirit, we're connected by one God, as exemplified in Ephesians, I believe, like, nature also is supposed to work in an ecological balance as well. Like, each thing has its purpose and place in the grand circle of life. And I think we're going to touch a little bit on that today. But I think it's really important to just realize that that is by design. Like, obviously, as times change, like, our ecological systems have to adapt, like, things get thrown for a loop, especially with people. Like, people are able to make tools and technologies, and we definitely change up the environment that we live around. So it's harder to see that harmony in, like, the urban area that we live in. But if you go out in nature, if you just go out to like God's creation, you really see the general revelation that this was created for a purpose, that it all fits together, that it's all mingled together. And I think that's almost a perfect analogy for like how we should be living as like a group or a colony with one spirit, with one design.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy we stopped just to say something about what we read, because something that I didn't really get to say last time, but we kind of said it, but I want to make sure we say it again. This last part, when she said, like, if you basically look at the, we see that, what's the guy's name? Darwin was talking about the entangled bank, right? Uh-huh. And talking about all the species and stuff that you see. And when we did the videos last time, the first two videos, I said, like, she said something about a window box seal. So I don't even know what she meant by that. But basically, just look outside and just think about everything that's outside, that's literally outside right now, that you never think about. Like, I mean, yeah, we walk outside, but are you thinking about your surroundings, and are you aware and considering what's out there, right? So there's ants out there, there's bees, there's other insects, so gnats, like, you know, there's spiders outside, you know, there's birds, there's caterpillars, like, there's a lot of stuff outside these four walls, wherever four walls you're in, right? And there's some even inside your house, right? So there's bears, foxes, rabbits, like, there's so many creatures outside, right? Just all around you. And then we don't even consider what's around us. Like, we don't even know. Some of them are hiding. And we don't even know what's underneath on the ground, on the surface of the ground. But, like, there's a lot of things outside in all of creation in front of you, right? And so you have to pay attention. And this is what I like. This last part right here. I didn't really focus on it last video. But she said, you take Darwin's entangled bank. You think about the ocean beach, the urban park, you know, the plantings on a campus. Just like I said, go outside and look outside your window seal. Right. So any place where land or water with their plants or animals, domestic or wild, you have to draw your attention to it. That's what she's saying. And if you draw your attention to it, it will refresh your spirit. Right. Then it will lift your mind and heart to God. Right. Which that leads to the Bible verses. So, like, this is in the Bible. Right. In Job chapter 12, verse 7, it says, but ask the animals and they will teach you, or the birds in the sky and they will tell you. What are they going to tell you? This is what they're going to tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you too, right? Or let the fish in the sea inform you, which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this. What has he done? Created them, right? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. So one of the things, I have to write a 12 to 15 page book report in my class. I'm definitely going to say this one part right here. I'm going to talk about this verse for sure and just say, I'm going to hit people with straight facts. Like, you're not the only creature on earth that had the breath of life breathe into you, right? Birds had the breath of life breathe into them. Ants had the breath of life breathe into them. Any species you can think about on the earth had the breath of life breathe into them. We only see in one verse in the Bible that God's breath breathed into man, into mankind, into man, right? We don't hear and see it with animals, really. But it was the same. I think it said the same thing. By the way, they had the breath of life breathed in them too, right? Because life comes from God. Jesus even said, I am the resurrection and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. You won't have life without Jesus. He was there in the beginning and the end. He is the beginning and the end, the start of everything and the end of everything. So, like, he's in the in-between, in the middle, in the beginning, and the end. He's everywhere, right? So life started with him. Life starts with them, right? The Trinity, God. So, like, every single thing you can see on the earth, if it's alive, the breath of life was breathed into it. If it died, the breath of life ain't in it no more. So, like, every creature knows this. They're alive because the Creator created them, right? So, like, what my whole point is like, yeah, life ain't just about human beings. So that's what we've been taught in the church. That's all we ever say. Like, you know, it's man's world. We're just living in it. Like, you know, like, it's all man. It's all about man. No, it's not. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. That's the most important thing. Everything else is just a creature on the earth, inhabiting the earth that God created. He is the end all be all, not human beings. Human beings are just, they're no different than a frog. They ain't no, I mean, yeah, they're different. But you see what I'm saying? They're still a created thing, just like everything else. They ain't no different than a plant. It ain't no different than anything you can think about that's created, right? The sun, moon, everything was made to glorify God and to point to God. So the title of today's video is just look outside. Just look outside to see God's glory. God's glory is all around you. It's everywhere. It ain't just in human beings. It's in the bird. It's in I'm trying to think of all these animals, Justin, but I can't think of any right now, man. I need to look at some. Do you have the lion, tiger, lizards? Like, they're everything. What do you say, Justin?
When you said bird, I was thinking bees.
You're right. I keep on saying bees. I already know I said bees. So I didn't want to say it again. But yeah, guys, you get it. So, Justin, you get. I'm going to go ahead and get to
Yeah. Why don't you get to that so we can get started on the ants?
Let me see. Let me read this real quick. All right. So the last part of the book that touched me is page 284. It says, at the beginning of this book, I invited you, good reader, to keep before your mind's eye some version of Darwin's Entangled Bank. So we just took you to Darwin's Entangled Bank before we go where we're going, right? Some place where you noticed and responded with pleasure to the natural world. So are you responding with pleasure and notice with the natural world and what God did? So interrogating this bank, we ask the beasts and the birds of the air and the plants of the earth and the fish of the sea what they could teach us. And this is what we're going to do for this video. So if you go to my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads, you already know I have a lot of playlists, right? I say that all the time. One of my favorite playlists and one of the favorite things I like to talk about is, I'm just go to it, it's Proverbs 30. Right? That's one of my favorite verses, chapters in the Bible of all time. Like, it literally talks about what we just read. Like, it literally, and I haven't even read all of it. I only know these four verses that we're about to say. Like, I know these, like I know my name. But like everything else, I need to study and do videos on. So Justin, that should probably be some videos coming out. I know it talks about lions and stuff like that. So, yeah. So like with Proverbs 30, if you go to this playlist on my YouTube channel, you'll see all the sermons, Bible studies, lessons, any videos me and Justin did together on Proverbs 30 and then future animations, you'll see it. And then also I have a playlist on ants where I talk about ants. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's go to Proverbs 30, verse 24 to 28 and see what God has to say about this. So I say this all the time before I do anything with the book of Proverbs, but what is a proverb? Right? It's important to know what a proverb is. A proverb is just a general statement that's true regarding the way life works, regarding the way things happen in the world. It's an observation that's made so that we can draw lessons from those observations to apply to our lives. That's what the book of Proverbs is. So imagine if you knew every single proverb in the book of Proverbs. So it's 31 chapters. Imagine you had every single one of those memorized. and then you applied it to your life, how different your life will look. And we're about to show you how different it's going to look, right? Let's take you there. So Proverbs 30, I'm going to read verses 24 to 28, but we're just focusing on verse 25. We're talking about ants today. That's how does ants glorify God, right? So Proverbs 30, verses 24 to 28 reads, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in the king's palaces, right? So that was from the King James Version Bible, but we're focusing on verse 25 today, right? We already hit you with verse 26 about the rock badgers and the conies. Check out that playlist on my YouTube channel, Ugly Past Crossroads. We already hit you with the locusts last week, you know, verse 26. That's another playlist on my YouTube channel. And we already talked about lizards and spiders, right? Because it changes based on the Bible version you're reading, if that's a lizard or a spider. So now we're talking about ants. How the heck does ants give glory and honor to God, right? So the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. So these four things are upon the earth. They're in the earth, and they are exceedingly wise. They're literally doing what God functioned them to do, and it glorifies God. So the question is, are you glorifying God by doing what he specifically created you to do as a human being? When he done gave you dominion and gave you basically the stewardship to steward his whole creation. So what are you doing with it, right? So Justin, I'll let you go ahead and talk about ants, man.
Yeah, I think like ants can be like a powerful lesson for us as well, because they're one of the, of course, there's plenty of animals that have like colonies and their own social structures. But like ants are very impressive because they like have their own, they just have like their own unique cast or systems, and they're just able to, it's funny, like I was just telling Sean that I watched Ant-Man Quantumania before this as well, so I feel like I was ready. But it's funny because like what's the guy's name? Hank Pym, he's like all about ants, and he just talks about how they can work together to like accomplish anything. And I think that's a good parallel for people, because that's something that we can actually learn from that as well. Like they're organized like an actual human society. There are different caste systems. There are different roles. You have worker ants. You have slave ants. You have queen ants. You have like a bunch of other ones. I can't remember. Like depending on the type of ant, you've got ants that literally just use their heads as doorways. If like they're under attack, they will force their head into the entrance and then no ants can get through. It's like, it's crazy because you have division of labor and workers and they're able to accomplish so much. Like if they were like the size of humans, it'd be like they would easily take over us just because of like how organized everything is. But they just possess like their own duty. I feel like these are some good verses for the lesson we have, because it just shows the ability to harmonize and work together. Because each ant has like their own duties. They have nests designed in a way that can be compared to human cities. They form symbiotic relationships with like other bugs sometimes, depending on how territorial they are. And like they just have a lot of traits that are relatable to humans, including like intelligence. They can use scent trails and landmarks and the positioning of the sun. And they just have like incredible strength to get work done. So I won't overload you on just facts about ants. But I think focusing on verse 25 is great for Darwin's excerpt, because like Darwin was talking about how different species can harmonize in an ecosystem, and you need like several animals. Ants though, like you can have a whole harmonious relationship and colony with just ants, which is crazy. They fulfill like so many different purposes. I'll talk about how they wage war later. It was interesting because there was a book on ants that was saying, they were talking about how we think humans are like the worst species, are the only murderous species, the only one that wage wars. No, like ant wars are like so much worse. There's like ants don't really care about their life. They're so community based that they don't care about their own singular life as long as they can take over other ants. The book was saying, like, if you gave ants, like, their own nuclear, if they had weapons or their own nuclear weapons, they would end the world in, like, a week, just with how war-crazy and territorial they can be. But, yeah, I'll wait and talk about their community-based system a little later. But, yeah, I think this is a great verse to dive into that, but just to show, like, I don't want to give away too much, but just like how they can work together to make so many accomplishments that they are forced to be reckoned with. I think like in Job, God talks about how he values whales because of like, they're a beast that just has no control. They're just a part of nature. I think ants can be related to the same thing because they are like a force of nature that are just, they're invasive. They'll take down like whatever environment that they're in.
I'm replying to Grant. What up, Grant? Appreciate all the support, man. God bless you, man. All right, so yeah, let's go to this, man. So I think you guys know, like, me and Justin are passionate about science, the world, creation, and just seeing God through creation. So a lot of the church, a lot of Christians, like, they think science is of the devil or, like...
Yeah.
Or, Justin, you can clarify that a little more.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, I feel like science is a great... It shows the wonderful design of God. It shows that there was an intelligent creator behind all of it. It's actually... Scientists from like the Renaissance and like the 1700s believed that there was a God creator of all the things that they were studying. I think science is only dangerous if we treat it as our own God. Like the Bible warns us not to follow witches or astrology or putting our faith in something other than God. Mm-hmm. I want to say science can also fall under that category, not because it's inherently bad, but because it's so easy to treat it as our savior, that it can solve all of our problems.
Right. And so that's where like the dilemma is. So like, but Christians got to understand like creation is a part of us. Like we're a part of creation. You can't separate creation and science from humanity because they all are together, right? They're all one. Like Justin even said that earlier, like, because the author said it. She said that, I want to say it exactly how she said it, but I know you know what I'm talking about, Justin, because we done read this like a billion times. This part right here, when she said it on page one, actually, of her book, she said at the beginning, she said, when we contemplate the whole globe as one great dewdrop, it's one dewdrop, right? Like the dew in the morning, that gospel song. All right, so stripped and dotted with continents and islands, flying through space and other stars, all singing and shining together as one. At the end of the day, it's just one planet. It's just one creation. That's it. Like, God created one thing. One whole universe appears as an infinite storm of beauty. So it's all one. So you can't be human and not be on the earth. You're still on the earth. You can't get away from that. You can't get away from being with other creatures that God created. Because you're always going to encounter something. In order to be alive and live, you have to be in the creation story, in creation with other creatures. So we're all together as one. As soon as you're dead, you're probably going to go to another creation story. You know, like afterlife with God in heaven. I don't know what it's going to be like. But, you know, like it's still going to be something else. Like you're going to be with other things that are created by God, you know, because God created it all. Like you can't get away from it. So we're all together, right? And so the ants, the conies, the rock badgers, the hyraxes, that's what a coney is in verse 26 of Proverbs 30. You know, the locusts, the spiders, the lizards, like they're no different than human beings. So like, Justin, I don't even want to go there, but you already went there. Like, One of the things that I've been dying to say, and it has to be a totally different video, totally different series, everything like that. But ants, like, I think ants are so stupid. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just because I want to hit you guys with these facts. All right. So I'm going to just share my screen. I want you guys to see this. So how many ants are there in the world? There's 20 quadrillion ants in the world right now. They've been in existence since the dinosaurs, maybe even before. How many ants are there for every one human? 2.5 million ants for every human being, just one human being. There's 2.5 million ants that can take you out. I don't know if you guys ever seen it. Before I even talk about the next one, like, have y'all ever seen when an ant attacks another species, another creature? Like, I seen a video of just a whole colony of ants destroying a whole snake. Like, it was a huge snake. I don't know what kind of snake it was, like, but it was huge. And the whole colony ate the snake alive. And that's what the ants do. The ants do everything for survival, right? Oh, this might be good. The ant does everything for survival. What do we have to do for survival? Eat, all of us. I don't think the ants are limited to what they eat. They eat any and everything that they can get their hands on because that's what they need to survive, just like human beings, just like any other creature in creation. I think every creature that God has ever created has to eat something, right, Justin? Like, I don't think there's one that doesn't eat. I tried to look it up before.
Yeah, the ants have to eat, yeah.
Yeah, like, everybody has to eat something. So, like, ants, colonies die off if they don't get food. So that they have, like Justin said, there's different types of ants. I'm going to talk about that later. I'm not going to go there yet. So he mentioned, actually, it's on this slide, but this is another one that I want to go deeper in. But, you know, you got different types of ants. So everybody has a role in the colony. And everybody does everything to save the colony. Everybody does everything for the colony. It's not for themselves. So, like, meet the colony, right? You got worker ants, you got soldier ants, you got drone ants, you got queen ants. Every single ant that's in a colony has to do something. That's why they were created. That's why they're alive. That's why they're in a colony. Nobody can just chill. I don't want to have anything to do with the colony. As soon as you do that, you're dead. You have to eat. And you're an ant. You're small in this big old world. So you have to work as a team to get the food that you need to survive. Right? And then on top of that, every ant has two stomachs. So anytime they get food, they get more food than what they need, so that they can feed the other members of the colony, because everybody can't go out and everybody ain't called to go out. You have different types of ants again. Oh, man, I'm preaching up. All right. So, like, one ant is a slave ant. So it's a sex slave, essentially. So it's a male ant that just has sex with the queen ant. So you got the queen ant right here, just in case you guys can't see it. And then you got the male ant right here. So literally, when a male ant is born in a colony, all they do is have sex with the queen ant. That's all they do. The male ants never go out. Anytime you see an ant like that's outside the colony, especially like at your house or something like that, which I see sometimes in my house, it's always a woman ant. The woman ants go out to get everything. Kind of like a lion. It's weird. Like a lion pride. What's it called? What is
the
it
pride.
Called? The pride. Okay. All right. So like, yeah, so like with the lion pride, the women go out to get the food.
The lionesses are the hunters.
Yeah, and then what the male ones do. I think they just like fight to like be the alpha male of the whole entire pride, right? Do they fight when it's needed? I think that's what they do. They fight
there are obviously more female lions, but yeah, I think a few male lions will fight for dominance.
Yeah. And so I think they do the like fighting though, right? Like the actual fighting, like this lion on a lion. I don't think the women lions do that really.
All the females are just hunters. They will, if the male is doing a bad job, I think they will like try to overthrow him.
Yeah, kill him.
But it reinstates like a new male lion anyway.
Yeah. So guys, all right. So basically, there's different types of ants. So I was trying to talk about one ant. I don't know what it's called, but on this slide it says that it's called a Ripley T or something right here. But either way it goes, there's a type of ant. I told you that there's different types of ants, right? Justin talked about like the hammerhead ants, which those are the ones that basically protect the colony, the door to get into the colony. So they're the security guards of the colony. So like their heads are so big that they can keep and fight off anybody that tries to come into the colony that's not meant to come into the colony. Because like he was saying at the very beginning of the video, like every single ant has like a scent. Like, and because they're actually blind, I don't think they can see, and they even if they do, they can barely see. So like they communicate through smell. So that's why you see
ants. Their antenna picks up the smell. Like they can kind of see, but they use most of their sensors for like food or for scents with the little antennae at the front of their head.
Yeah. So basically, like they have to feel and touch to see if somebody's a friend or foe. So based on their touch, their senses, their smell, like all of it. They know if somebody belongs to the colony that they belong to. But like I said at the beginning of the video, I mean, not the beginning, but like I said just a minute ago, like there's over 20 quadrillion ants in the world, right? So that, I need to look up how many colonies are there if there's that many ants.
There's a lot. Like, there's so many.
What would be sad, Justin, is if all 20 quadrillion ants work together, that would be a catastrophe.
The scary part is... Usually, yeah, usually different. And we're actually kind of lucky there are so many different ant species because they're so busy attacking each other and wiping out other colonies. But there is one colony called like the Argentinian colony that unfortunately, I think they like hopped a boat and they came to the United States. So they're like the only colony where if they come across other Argentinian ant colonies, they'll like befriend them and form like, and the scientific term for it is a super colony. So they actually have colonies that are hundreds of miles long in the U.S. Funny enough, like there are others, they like other species will attack each other, they'll attack their own kind because they're not part of their home. It's kind of like people attacking other people if they don't like them. And like ants will do that too. If you're not part of their colony, even if it's the same species, they'll still attack you. But like Argentinian ants, if they find a homie or they find like the same species, they'll just like befriend them and form like an even longer colony. And it's like, that's some scary stuff.
Yeah. Cause like there's 2.5 million ants per every human being. So if ants wanted to, if God wanted ants to rule the world, they could. Pretty easy. Like, because I just showed you what it looks like when they attack, like, an animal, a snake. Like, they're not limited. They can attack and eat anything if they really wanted to. Mm-hmm. All together, especially fire ants. Like, that's the thing. Some ants.
I always think of the Indiana Jones clip.
Yeah.
Which one? The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. It's just they, like, he pushes one of the Nazis into the ants and just eats their whole body or something like that.
Yeah, like some ants are dangerous, man. So like, we're really blessed that like ants don't work together like that. And honestly, ants are no different than human beings. That's what I was trying to say. Like,
yeah.
On this slide, it said how many species of ants are there. There's more than 12,000 to 15,700. So like, and that's a lot of ants, man. That's how many species there are. So that's like having different races and then like different sizes of ants and different ants that can do different things. Like some ants can fly, some ants can, like the queen ant, like it's huge. Like, you know, like, it can produce a lot of ants. Like, and then the whole colony does everything to protect the queen ant. But anyways, I was just trying to say like, yeah, man, if ants work together, like they could take out humanity. And the whole planet, honestly, if they really wanted to, because they outnumber everybody and they don't mind losing people because they can always replenish and replace them with the queen ants. Because that's another thing, too. When they attack other colonies, they attack to get food and they attack to get their queen. So some colonies, if they're a big colony, I know they probably got, I wonder how many queens they got, because if the colony's that big and that long of that and they're covering that much ground. That means they got a lot of queens producing even more ants to multiply even more, right? And so that's the whole point, guys. Like, these little creatures, they're exceedingly wise, like the Bible verse said. They're small upon the earth. They're feeble. That verse said in Proverbs 30, verse 25, when it talked about ants, And the Bible talks about it multiple times, talking about ants. So I'm about to hit you with another one in a minute. But it said the ants are people not strong. They're not strong. You can crush them with your finger. You can crush them probably with your saliva. Like, I don't know. Like ants are tiny. But they can carry twice. I don't even know. I think they can carry like 200 times their body weight or something.
More than twice, I think.
It's pretty heavy. Way more than twice. And then, so you can hear, you can see them carrying like a log, a rock or something, or like, I don't know, a donut, you know? So, well, not one ant, but it'd be a few. But, you know, it don't take that many to get a lot done, you know, to cover a lot of ground. And that's so powerful. Like, human beings need to take notes. So the ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Okay, I'm not going to go there yet. What I'm trying to say is, like, human beings, like, God is trying to tell us to look at creation. He's speaking to creation right here, just with the ants, just with the few things we said to you. I haven't even hit you with everything yet. There's so much to learn about ants and how they operate to see, oh, God wants us to be better. So, like, why do ants not work together? If they could take out the whole entire planet and own the whole earth themselves, like, what's stopping them? You know, it's because God didn't give them dominion and God didn't call them to rule the earth. But that doesn't mean they can't. And that says a lot. These creatures are small, not strong, little upon the earth, but they're exceedingly wise. They know how to operate. Ants, where do they live? We don't even know. Unless we see an anthill, and they do a good job covering that majority of time, right? Like, you can be sitting down on an anthill and not even know, and then got ants in your pants, right? Probably chew off your butt. But anyways, man, these ants are smart, but like, are they smart? Because like, if they were, they would work together. So it's no different than human beings. Human beings are that stupid too. Like, if human beings really wanted to like make the world a better place, make it far in life, like, we would really care for one another. We would really help out one another. We would really lay down our lives for each other, no matter what our backgrounds, no matter what country, no matter what anything, right? So because we don't do that, human beings dying off, right? Some human beings are exceeding and have experiencing the best of life. I won't even say some. I would say a small amount of people get to experience everything and get the best of life and all that stuff. Everybody else, which that's like the 99% of people, like, they got to, you know, they're fighting for scraps or something like that, for crumbs at the table of what the rich and the wealthy get, the 1%, right? So, like, we're no different than the ants. We're always fighting. We're always at war. Like, why? At the end of the day, why? Like, yeah, some countries are doing some crazy stuff. And yeah, sometimes you got to go to war, right? But at the end of the day, like, why don't we just do stuff? Most time we go to war because somebody's hurting another people or something like that. So it's a good reason, right? But that's the whole point. Like, ants fight each other for what? For food and queens. But if they work together, they can get even more food and even make even more queens. Like, you know what I'm saying? Have even more. But human beings, we don't work together. So, like, we're not going to – you guys see the equation, right? You see it. Like, humans, because we don't want to work together, we're not going to have enough to eat. We're not going to have enough to do. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, because we don't work together, we got so much problems. And it's so sad. So, like, that's the parallel I see with the ants. Like, so, Justin, when you said that, I was kind of mad you went there already because I wanted to say that for later. Oh,
sorry.
But yeah, it took forever to get to. But, yeah, man, like, that's the biggest revelation I got from ants. Like, the biggest, man, because it just don't make no sense to me. Why do they fight? Y'all want the same thing. And human beings, why do we fight? We want the same thing. Like, do all of us want the same thing? No, some people are evil. But, like, majority of people, like, we want good on the earth. We want peace. We want our families to be happy. Like, why don't we do that for everybody then? What do you want to be happy? Let's give it to you. But no, like, people want to get over on other people and make them suffer and pay to get what they want. And then majority of the time when you suffer and pay, you still don't get what you want because minimum wage don't pay enough. All right, but anyways, let's stop. All right. So, Justin, I want to go ahead and say some of my stuff about ants. You got anything else?
No, not right now. I kind of want to see what you say first and then build up from there.
Okay, so we talked about ants working together, right? Ants do everything for the colony. They don't do anything for themselves. Like, yeah, they give themselves food because they need food, but like I said, they have two stomachs. So some ants, that's what I was trying to say earlier, some ants have more than two stomachs. I think they have like six stomachs, probably even more. And then they have like something that's like a backpack on them. So y'all probably seen ants that have like, I'm gonna just show you a picture. Some ants have like this yellow thing on their bodies. So remember we were talking about the different types of ants? So these yellow things are like something that can carry even more food, right? That they can give to the whole colony. And these ants were specifically made to die for the colony. So they, obviously you can't live, I mean, they live their whole entire life. So I think ants only live like 2 days, like an average of 2 days or something like that. So their life is short. Even if I'm wrong, it's something like that, right? Ants don't live a long life. Their life's short, just like human beings. But they make the best of their lives by giving what they have to others for the survival of the colony in the long run. Wow, that should be Christianity. We should do things for God that's going to last. It may not last all of our lifetime, but as soon as we pass on what God gave us to others, it's going to, you know, go on for future generations. The colony will still survive. The church is the colony. The body of Christ is the colony. What are you doing for the colony, right? So these creatures, these ants, are specifically made just like this by God to literally give their lives for the colony. So all they do their whole lives is just get as much food as they can. And then they just put themselves on the ceiling of the colony. And then as soon as winter hits, that verse was so powerful. Proverbs 30 verse 25, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. You see ants in the summer more than you see them in the cold winter and fall, right? They literally are getting, they're preparing for winter. Question is, are you preparing for winter? That's another Bible verse. I'm gonna wait to go there. So like they prepare their meat in the summer. So they're literally not waiting for winter to come to get right. They're not waiting till hell breaks loose to fix their lives. They're not waiting until it you guys get what I'm saying. Ants literally seize the moment. They seize the season that they're in. They know it's summertime, springtime. They can go outside and not really have to face cold weather and all that stuff. They still go out in cold weather. It's crazy. I didn't even think that they went out in wintertime in cold weather, but they do. But I'm pretty sure they die quicker. But anyways, like they know in the summertime where they need to get the most of their harvest. And they try to get so much food that it can last in the wintertime and they really don't have to go out. Because when winter times hits, you can't go out like you did, you know, in the summer. Same thing for human beings. Like, we have to make provisions. We have to prepare ourselves for the worst times of our lives. Like, I'm pretty sure when we're 90, if we make it to 120, like, you ain't gonna be working at no 120. Like, you know, you're not gonna be able to move. Well, you know what I'm saying? You're basically dead already. So you're gonna look dead too. So like, yeah, you better get it all in while you can, while you're young. While, you know, you're young, you better take advantage of working. You better take advantage of, you know, getting money while you can. You want love? Shoot. Okay, I'm not even gonna go there. But you gotta see what I'm saying. Like, man, you better utilize it while you can, because as soon as you dusty, rusty, and crutchy and all that stuff, nobody gonna want you for love. Like, you know what I mean? Like, some people try to wait for, you know, I'm ready to settle down when they 55 and they look like Hunchback of Notre Dame or something like that. But like, yeah, so like we have to utilize the seasons that we're in and not waste them. You know, but so that winter time, the worst times of our lives, the hardest times of our lives aren't so hard, right? My dad always said a saying to me, he said, pay now, play later. Play now, pay later. Let me make sure I said it right. Pay now, play later, play now, pay later. So basically that quote saying, like, if you play games right now, so like you're young, you just living it up. You ain't saving your money at all. You just having sex with everybody. Like, you just living for you, boo-boo. You living completely different than the ants. God mentions the ants for a reason. They do everything for the colony, for the betterment of humanity, for ants, right? For the betterment of everybody, the family, the church of God, right? So, like, this is how ants operate. If you live for yourself, this is the revelation. Do things for only you, for your satisfaction, your pleasure. That's the only people that's going to be satisfied is you. And matter of fact, you ain't going to be satisfied because when wintertime hits, you're going to realize, man, I wasted my life. Like, that's one of the reasons, Justin, it'd be interesting to talk about. But, like, why are you with y'all? You know, why are you trying to have kids? And same thing for me. Like, you could have sex with anybody, right? You can have sex with as many women as you possibly could want, right? But at the end of the day, if you just had sex with all the women you wanted in the world, right? And you got all of them. And when you hit about 90, 80, even before then, you're going to be like, man, I wish I would have just settled down with that one girl. That one girl was perfect. Had kids. I would have had a legacy. If I had 6, 12 kids, oh my gosh. Like, I wouldn't be lonely. I would have company. I would have somebody to take care of me instead of going to the nursing home where nobody comes to see me. Like, that's going to be another video. But like, yeah, guys. So like, man, it pays to play in both scenarios. Like, if you play with your life and just play games all your life, you play silly games, you're going to win silly prizes. And God is not mocked. You reap what you sow. So if you sow bad things, you're going to reap bad things. If you sow good things, you're going to reap good things. Just like with ants. They work when they can work so that when they can't work, they don't have to work. Pay now, play later. Now's not the time to play around. Now's not the time to, you know, lollygag when you're at the peak of your life, like in your prime, when you're young. This is the time when you can work and you should be working. This is the time when you need to be investing and should be investing. You don't wait until you're 90 to invest. Nigga, you about to die. Oh, you about to die. So like, you gotta utilize the seasons and the moments that you're in life. You have to seize every moment. So wring out the rag of every single moment you get in life, because you don't know how long you're going to have it. You don't know how long it's going to last. In life, just like with the seasons of life, you got God speaking through creation again. You got springtime, summertime, fall time, winter time. This was so powerful. Ants prepare their meats in the summer. It didn't say the spring. It didn't say the fall. It didn't say the winter. That's what life's like. Wintertime is a place where it's cold, bitter, hard. It's a struggle. Like, wintertime is not a good time when you're in snow. Some people don't understand that. When you're in snow and you can't go out and it's harder to travel, harder to do things. Like, I can't drive in no snow. I don't know how people do it. Like, because you can't see the roads. You can't see where you go. I don't know how they do it, Justin. So, like, that's wintertime. Springtime is where everything starts blossoming. Everything starts blooming. Things start transforming and changing. Like, everything, you see the progress. Springtime's a good time, too. It's just as good as summer. It's like new beginnings. Uh-huh. Things being revived, being restored, becoming new, right? Summertime is the best time. It's where everything's already bloomed. It's at its full peak. Everything's, vivid and colorful. Like, everything's perfect in the summertime. I ain't going to talk about the fall. Fall's kind of in between of all that stuff, right? It's when stuff start breaking and stuff like that. So you guys see what I'm saying? Like, ants are not a strong people, but they're wise in a sense that they know what season that they're in, and they don't waste the seasons that they get in this life. So the question is, do you do the same thing? So this is why this video is so powerful. We need to just look outside and see God's glory, because God's speaking through every single creature you can name. And when you start looking up stuff like this with every single creature and how they operate, you're like, man, God did that with that little creature. Because God cares about everything that he makes. Like, we think ants are nothing. We think frogs and bees are nothing, right? God cares about he doesn't make anything that he just disregards and don't care about. He cares about everything. And look at the provisions that he's given an ant. So what do you think he's going to do with you? All right, Justin. There's so much more I want to say, man, but go ahead.
I want to head in one direction on what you're saying, just on, like, every ant knows its role and its purpose, and they all work towards, like, a similar goal. Like, that's something I feel like we've lost a little bit in as far as, like, an American culture goes. Like, in Europe, in the Middle East, in, like, biblical times, like, when Yao and I were studying on how to do, like, mission trips over towards the European area, we had to learn that their culture is a lot more community-based. The U.S. is more individual-based. And I don't want to be that guy that just, like, puts down the U.S. because we definitely have, like, a lot of things to be grateful for. But we really do tie in on, like, what makes me happy, or how does this help me? Or, like, what are my dreams? And I think that that can be very dangerous, because, like, I feel like God does call us in a similar way to ants to, like, contribute to something that will last, like to contribute to something bigger than just yourself. And I was talking about this last night because, like, we were talking about ants, but it's like we are given a gift. We are given like certain talents. We are given like different roles. And I think we do need to explore that, but I think we all want to be like our own snowflakes, or we want to be special. And you are, like, each person is special. I don't want to downplay that. But we try too hard to be unique, that we try to like pull ourselves away from the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Like we're a tiny ant who's trying to like run away from the colony or the environment that God has put us in. So I don't want to like downplay that you do have gifts and talents, but I think we do need to direct it. We do need to develop that mindset of like, how can I use this to help my friends, or help the circles that God has put me in, or to help the church? Like one of Sean's ideas, video ideas, is like how do we know if like a church is good for you, or when do we know to like separate from a church? And like what I'm saying is, I'm excited for that video idea. Like some of the things I'm talking about now, I want to put in for that, because it's like sometimes we do think about like, okay, how can they help me, when like we also need to realize like, how can I help other people? Yeah. Like the harder, and Jesus said this too, the more, or maybe it was Paul, I forgot, the more that we hold on to our own life, the more easily we'll lose it. But if we give it up, we gain that life. Okay, it was Jesus. After I said it.
Yeah,
I didn't want to, like, blasphemy or like, oh yeah, this is totally
Justin wrong. Said it, and he was like, yes, that's my Lord. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, right. But yeah, it's like, it's, we really do gain something from by giving our lives for others and giving our lives to the colony. It's funny because I every time I watch a movie, I like to approach it from like, what's the mental health of these characters, or like, what would a psychologist? Sometimes I watch videos on like psychologist reacts to a movie or something, and it was interesting because I saw one video for like Guardians of the Galaxy movies, which is interesting because it's like you have these ragtag bunch of misfits, but they have like their own, they're very rough because they're afraid of like, the world has hurt them, so they don't want to be hurt anymore, so they don't want to be a part of anything. And I've said this before, my brother's kind of like that too. It's like, life's a dirty game, you have to play dirty to win, or something like that. I hate that quote. Yeah. But That's a terrible way to live life, honestly. And like, eventually with the Guardians of the Galaxy, they find their own place. They find their niche. They find a group where they can like be themselves and open themselves up, but they're able to use their talents towards like a higher purpose, like saving the universe or guarding the galaxy or whatever they do. I actually don't know what their job description entails. I don't know what a Guardian of the Galaxy actually is. But it's like, yeah, I think like that's something we can definitely learn too. Like, we think like movies are trying to enforce of like, oh, you got to be special to like make your way in the world. I think that's like half of it. You are special, but you also have to realize like, what's the circle or what's the colony God has put me in to use my special set of skills?
Right. Yeah. And that's the powerful thing. Like, it's so sad. Like, people think ants are stupid, right? Or like, they'll look at any creature and be like, man, they're so dumb. Mm. But at least they know their purpose. At least they know what they're here for.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely.
At least they know their part in the world and in their community and in their race, you know, in their species. Like, how many people can say that? Like, there's so many people that don't know why they were here. They don't know their identity. Mm. They don't know their purpose. You know, they don't even know why they work the job that they're working. They have no plan. At least an ant has a plan.
And that question is ingrained into our soul. Like, we're always asking, oh, what's my purpose? Yeah. And it's like, when we don't seek God for that answer, we just, like, seek it in other more empty places.
Yeah. Yeah, man, like, no, I want to hit you with this verse, man. You really, this is another proverb. So this is a spoiler. This is probably my favorite verse of all time.
Oh, man.
I always think about it. And, like, I just need to do way more studying on it. And it's not even studying. That's a bad way of saying it. I need to, like, really, like, you guys know what a life verse is. So that's just another playlist me and Justin got on my YouTube channel, Upload Past Crossroads, right? It's life verses. And that's where you just take, what's a life verse to you? Like, everybody, every Christian has one. That just means, like, it's a Bible verse that relates to your life, your relationship with God, what God is doing in your life, like anything like that. It's the one that touches you the most, the one you think about the most, one that you have memorized, it's implanted in your brain, and you always think about and you're always applying. Like, what's your life verse? And obviously, as a Christian, you should have multiple life verses. So one of mine is this one. We have yet to do a video on this one because, like, I'm still just meditating on it. I'm applying it. I'm dreaming about it. Like, this verse is what I'm doing. Like, you know, if I don't do it, you tell me. Like, you know, but it's Proverbs 11:25. It says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed themselves. All right, so that's from the New International Version Bible. I'm going to read different versions of the Bible for that one, because, like, every version of the Bible, you can see it in different ways. But basically, like, this verse says a lot. It's basically talking about the ants. It's basically saying, like, if you give yourself away, so God can use you, and so other people can use you, which, like, everybody says in the world, one of the sayings is, don't let people use you. You know, don't let people, you know, basically take from you, and then you don't ever get anything back. Like, don't just give yourself to other people, right? Like, we live in such a selfish world, right? So the New Living Translation reads, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. The King James Version Bible. Let's see. Oh, no. Okay. I want to read different versions. I'm just going to read different versions. It says, the soul that blesses will be enriched, and he who waters will himself be watered. So, like, a lot of times people think, like, if I give, then I lose. And sometimes that's true. All right. I'm not going to act like it's not. But not when it comes to God. In the world, people may take advantage of you. In the world, you may give and people don't give back to you. That's in the world. That's this world order. But also another equation in the world order is faith. We walk by faith, not by sight, right? We have faith in the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what we have faith in. So what the rewards we're looking for, we're not going to see it more than likely. The praises that we're looking for, we're not going to get it here on this earth. You think Martin Luther King was appreciated like he was, you know, like he is now when he was alive? No, he had to die for that. And then I don't even think he knows the recognition that he gets, that he was going to get, you know? Like, so he never lived through this. So many people didn't live through, like, the blessings that they were promised or that they should have got, the recognition. Some people don't get to see that in this world, but you will in the next world with God, right? So a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So, like, that goes to the ants. This is their lives. Like, if one of them give up getting food for the whole colony, it's going to cost everybody. But if one person, just one ant, if they dedicate their whole lives to doing everything for the colony, everybody's going to be refreshed. Everybody's going to be blessed. Winter ain't going to be as bad. Like, it's going to be beneficial for everybody. But as soon as one ant refuses to do their job, like, we mentioned the hammer ant. So there's one ant that has a hammerhead that makes it, like, basically like a bulldozer truck hitting, like, another ant that doesn't have it. So, like, you're not going to want to fight that ant. It can move you in ways you don't want to be moved. But most of the time, like, another hammerhead ant fights another hammerhead ant. But either way it goes, like, there's still a force to be reckoned with. So some ants, like, in the colony, you don't want to mess with. Like, you know, they're a force to be reckoned with. So, like, basically you can't do everything alone. It takes a tribe. It takes a village. It takes a network. Like, so many people, you're not going to receive your blessings because you're trying to do everything yourself. And that's not this Christian life. Paul even said in 1 Corinthians 12, Justin, this is another video, man. Like, this is like 10 videos in one. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, he said, we're the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not all an eye. Some people think the body of Christ, everybody need to speak in tongues, or everybody need to preach, or everybody need to sing in a choir, or everybody need to do a certain thing. And that's not the case. In the body of Christ, it's a freaking body. There's 7,500 different functions in a human body. That's a lot of functions, right? What do you think the body of Christ is like? You know, you got black people, you got Chinese people, you got fat people, you got skinny people, you got ugly people, you got pretty people. It's different people in the body of Christ because everybody has a function and a part in the body, and not everybody can reach the same people. There's some people who don't want to hear a lick of things from me, but they want to hear from Justin, or vice versa. You know what I mean? So, like, I will only go so far by myself. But if I utilize the whole body of Christ, the whole colony, a generous person will prosper. A person who gives themselves away to others will prosper. Like, that verse is so powerful. This is a proverb. I told you what a proverb was. A proverb is a general statement regarding the way life works. And if you apply this wisdom, it's going to change your world. It's an observation telling you what goes on in life. Wisdom. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed themselves. So do you want to be refreshed? Are you looking for a blessing? Are you looking for a miracle? Man, you better give yourself. And Justin even said it. Jesus said it. Like the person, we need to just pull up the verse. But he said basically, the person who tries to hold their life, tries to get everything in life, that's the person that's going to lose it. The person who loves their life, that's the person who's going to lose it. But the person who hates their life, the person who gives their life away, the person who doesn't care about the riches that this earth has to give, and they give themselves to a greater cost than what you see in the world, that person will find life and life more abundantly. These ants found life and life more abundantly. Let me show you some stuff with an ant, man. Like, ants are so powerful, they work together. And when they work together, they do impossible feats that you don't even think is possible. So, Justin, we probably got to do another video because there's so much to talk about with ants. But, like, with ants, let me show you one thing that was crazy. I saw this the other day. All right. No, I saw this, like, 3 years ago because I've been trying to do this video for, like, 3 years. I saw this right here. So somebody saw ants hanging from a ceiling just like this. Like, look, those are ants, guys, right here. Those are ants. They're hanging from a ceiling. I think they're getting honey from a beehive. To take to their colony. So you see, like right here, they're starting to go to their colony, but they're like, okay, and the colony, I think it's on the ground. Obviously it's on the ground, right? So they made like a strand that goes to the ground, and then they're basically all working together to get honey from the ground, and then have the ants that get the honey come down from here to go to the colony and come back up to get more. So they're all working together. And obviously, this is more than one colony. Like, it's probably many colonies came into one to do this. So this is how dangerous ants are. Like, if they work together, they can do impossible things like this. Like, how the heck? You would think an ant can't get up here, right? No.
That's so crazy.
Right. And that's just with this one. Let me show you something else. Ants give themselves away. So, if there's a flood, you know, somebody asked a question before. How do ants, was insects and stuff on the ark, Justin? That's the question they asked.
Oh, and like, that's a good question.
Yeah. And so with ants, it wouldn't even matter because they work together as a team. Mm. So like ants can't swim, right? And even if they did, they would drown at a certain point. And even if they could, like, I don't know. I don't think they can. So, yeah, the waves are too strong and stuff like that. Mm. It's too little. So, yeah.
They can't breathe underwater either.
Right. Okay, cool. So we're good. So they would drown if they would swim. Yeah. So obviously some ants would die in a colony if there was a flood or something, right? So what they do is some are going to die. So some literally sacrifice their lives for the whole entire colony to make a boat so that the other ants can be on top of the boat and just rock with the boat and float through the water together. So some ants literally die to make a boat so that the other ants can survive. See, ants operate differently than human beings. They're small upon the earth, but they're exceedingly wise. This is how amazing ants are, man. This is what freaking ants do. So the question is, what do you freaking do for God? What do you do for the church? What do you do for humanity? Like, you see what ants do for a freaking colony? What are you doing for your, you know, for earth, for heaven, for the kingdom of God? This is so powerful. Like, I think earth, you know, the kingdom of God, like, anything like that is bigger than a colony. An ant colony, you know what I'm saying? Like, so like, what I'm gonna do for that cause, for God, my God, are you kidding me? Who's the queen bee? Like, you know what I mean? The queen of all the ant colony, right? It's God, right? So like, he's number one. He's the one who's birthing everybody, born again, right, into the kingdom. So we're called to work together as one body, one unit, one band, one sound. No ant is better than another ant in a colony. Even the queen ant. Like, it's just another ant. Well, God ain't, but you get what I'm saying. So, like, nobody thinks that they're better, and they all work together, right? So it's crazy what ants do, man. So, like, there's so much to learn with ants. I think I'm going to stop there, and I'll do another video. Because we didn't even talk about another thing with ants. So I'll just wait. But you good, Justin, with this one?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just wrap everything up. Yeah, I do think there's like that was interesting about the seasons that you mentioned, because that's not a direction that I had. But yeah, I think God definitely does want us to recognize his creation, not only to recognize like his power, but also to like learn how like different things have different abilities and talents. And like ants definitely have like a lot of things that we can learn off of. Well, like they just like their harmonious relationship is something that I think we need to grasp it better in order for us to like not fight against each other. I guess that is one thing. Ants fight against each other, and so do we. So like we do need to like learn to work together, or at least take the good qualities of ants so that we can like build something together on this world. Yeah. Not constantly be tearing it down.
Right. And then what's sad, the ants outnumber us, right? And they barely work together. So, well, as a whole collective, that's what I'm talking about. So colonies, obviously, they work together. But as a whole collective, they don't. So that just reminds me of racism, like whites working together, blacks working together. Okay, Muslims working together, so religion, you know, different religions, Calvinists working together. So everybody's working together with their own clique instead of working together as a whole, which costs everybody, right? It brings wars that we don't even need to get in. So every war that an ant gets in is stupid. Just like every war that a human being gets in, more than likely, some cases are, okay, I understand, right? But most cases are stupid, right? Just because, for example, Christians, because you believe baptism only saves, I hate you. You know, you're not saved, you're of the devil, or vice versa. You don't believe in baptism at all. Or you listen to rap music, so you're of the devil. Like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody just wants to have some reason to have beef with somebody instead of finding some way, instead of, despite our differences, despite everything, let's work together for the whole colony, for all of humanity, for the whole earth. Like, that would be so beautiful. So, yeah, we suck as human, man. Like, and then we, that's what I was trying to say. We can't afford to not work it together because, like I said, like, there's 20 quadrillion ants. That's a lot of ants. They're good. Human beings. How many human beings are on earth? It ain't that many. Like, I mean, it's a lot, but like at the end of the day, like, is it that much? You know? Mm-hmm. So, just in the United States, that's one thing we read in the books, Justin. They say in the United States, everything's spaced out because at the end of the day, everything, at the end of the day, you know, as US is kind of a newer country compared to everybody else. So, everywhere else, like India, it's a lot
The US is like less than 400 years old.
Yeah.
But most European countries have been around for like tens of centuries.
Yeah, so they're overpopulated. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. So like, just imagine if we worked together as a human race, like how many places could be occupied in the world? And then it'd be even too, like, yeah, that's one of the books. That's going sideways. That's also what I'm writing about in my paper. It goes with this book too that we're referencing, but basically, like, humans that are rich, they utilize way more energy, and they just have, like, they have way more opportunities and resources than like poor people or people that's in overpopulated areas, because rich people don't live in overpopulated areas. No, they live in some nice land space, like they got everything, right? So imagine if we work together and even out everything for everybody as human beings, instead of having people suffering, being poor, not having anything, when some people who are rich got everything. They got way too much, way more than what they need. That don't make no sense. But, you know, humans don't want to work together. We're not a colony to some people.
I definitely think that's the work of the enemy, though, too. They try to, like, even in Christian communities, he finds ways to add a schism or make us fight against each other. So it's not only a physical battle, it's definitely a spiritual battle.
Yeah. Sad world, man. Pray. I can't wait for heaven, man. Because this world sucks.
Wait for Revelation 21.
I'm just happy I got Justin. So, all right, guys, that's the video. I'm going to cut this one short. I'm not even going to do my previews or anything, but my promotions, but you guys know the drill. These are my social media pages. Check them out. They're amazing. We're going to hit you guys with another video in a minute. And then let me go ahead and go to Justin's YouTube channel as well. His YouTube channel is Chaplain's Log. Pull it up. Justin, I should have had you pulled up already.
Oh, no, you're good.
Yeah, here goes his YouTube channel, Chaplain's Log. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channels. After you subscribe, make sure to click that bell, turn on post notifications so you're notified anytime we upload another video. And then please like, comment, and share every single video. Let people know about this channel, man. If you're enjoying it, let them know. Tell them to watch every video. You make sure to watch every video on our YouTube channels. All right. So if you watch every video, man, I'm really close to getting monetized, but I need y'all to watch it because, like, I'm nowhere near it now because y'all people ain't watching it. So I need help, man. Get people to watch my stuff. Watch your stuff when you're at work. Just have it on. Just have it on when you're at work and stuff. All right. And then also, let me go to Justin's Facebook page. It's his name, Justin Lee Howell. So you can befriend him on here. And you can befriend me on my Facebook page. We'll answer any questions that you got on social media or on the Bible or anything like that. And, we'll answer your question on a video together like this. And, yeah, we'll tear up your question, man. We'll give you, like, a lot of answers. There's more answers than what you probably need, just so you know the answer to your question. All right, guys. But that's the video, man. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you guys in a minute.